Last case of the morning, which is United States versus Corey Jefferson. Mr. Flynn.
Good morning, Your Honors. May it please the Court. This case is really exceptionally simple. The trial itself took less time than it took to pick the jury, and there's really very little dispute about the facts. And even taking the facts in the light most favorable to the government, it is our position that the government simply has not met its burden. There's insufficient proof to show that Corey Jefferson intended to dispose of, I don't think anyone's arguing he sold the gun to his brother Melvin Jefferson, who was a convicted felon. Secondly, we believe that the jury instructions as given by the trial court constructively amended the charge of the grand jury. Simply stated, that the facts are undisputed that Corey Jefferson, the defendant and appellant in this case, legally purchased a gun at Buttram's Sporting Goods in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, or maybe it was one of the suburbs, but in the Milwaukee area. He gave his correct name. He gave identification. In fact, the testimony was he offered more information than was requested. He left the gun there while he waited the appropriate waiting period, went back, retrieved the gun. Some point shortly after this, he was going to leave town, and he placed the gun, or gave to his brother to place in his brother's safe for safekeeping. Really very little dispute. There's a minor dispute about the statement in what time period transpired between when he gave the gun to his brother to put in the safe, whether it was a week or whether it was immediately, and whether or not the brother was the one to place it in the safe. But the bottom line here is that when the government asked the court to define from an online dictionary, and then the judge, doing his own research, adopted from an Eighth Circuit case, which frankly I think did not have a great analysis. The facts were not well developed, and it was treated sort of as an advisory opinion because that case, Monteleone, was reversed on other grounds about character evidence. Fashion and instruction essentially told the jury that you could find Corey Jefferson guilty of disposing of this firearm to Melvin Jefferson if you found that Melvin Jefferson acquired possession of the firearm. You may convict if you find that Melvin Jefferson had the ability to control the firearm. You may convict if you find Melvin Jefferson never had physical contact with the firearm, but had the power and intention to exercise direction and control over the firearm, either directly or through others. And that came from the possession definition, which the trial court added, even without
your opinion that a disposition is used in the statute has to be permanent or disposal, I'm talking about.
There has to be some relinquishment of interest on the part of the person giving it up. And if I could posit an example that shows how absurd this can become if we just don't draw the line somewhere. If you are a legitimate sporting goods owner, such as Buttram's, and you hire an off-duty policeman, who either for maintenance purposes or as a salesperson or security, and in doing so, you ask him, you give him the keys to the gun rack, cabinets for the gun, ask him to clean the guns or to have some function over the guns. You've aided and abetted him in possessing that firearm. He may be under an injunction for a domestic disturbance which would make him a prohibited person. Is that disposing of the firearm? That's how far the government's request takes this analysis, I think. You could hire an illegal alien for the same purpose, someone who you know, and you know that, or you know that the person is mentally defective. You have no intent of relinquishing anything to this person. You have no intent of anything other than that they have perhaps some supervisory control, I suppose, some possessory interest. And frankly, there is a federal felon in possession statute, which early on in this case, when we were attempting to find out what the core of criminality the government was alleging here was, we asked in a bill of particulars, and then we asked to dismiss because it was a... What is it that's illegal here? It really seems to me what the jury ended up doing in this case, on the facts of this particular case, is finding him guilty of some sort of assisting him in possessing, being a felon in possession of a firearm.
Was that the only count charged?
Yes.
We're looking at here.
Yes, that did. The government's theory is that he legally purchased that firearm. I specifically asked the detective, did he state that Melvin gave him any money for the gun? No. Did Melvin, what did he intend? He intended to put it in the gun in the safe for safekeeping. It's a unique fact set, and I think if you don't draw the line somewhere, there's like unrestricted liability here if any felon ever does come into possession of your firearm. In my closing to the jury, I said, suppose a guy comes into your house and demands your gun. He's a burglar. You hand him your gun. You know he's a felon. Maybe he's someone you know in the community. Have you disposed of it? I'm sure you've disposed of it. In fact, in that case, you've relinquished your interest in it, I suppose. But that isn't what this statute is attempting to prohibit.
This was a voluntary relinquishment, and it would appear with by putting it in the safe, with the brother being the only one that knows the combination or whatever, or has the key, whatever, that it would be pretty much exclusive control, wouldn't it?
Well, there's no question that in doing so, he did come into possession of the, and that is the possession definition. That is not the definition the Supreme Court found in Huddleston when they talk about acquiring. And I think the Huddleston definition is being stretched, I think, beyond what it was intended to be here, because in Huddleston, the core there was a pawnbroker who was a licensed firearms dealer, whether a redemptive transaction was the same as a sale. We're now taking the word dispose and literally saying it's assisting and aiding someone in possession, whatever means that you do that by. The intent there was never to have Melvin Jefferson use that gun. In the Huddleston case, clearly the person acquiring the gun was supposed to use it and do whatever they wanted. The only thing Corey Jefferson wanted was that gun to be kept for safety, being in the safe. And I think
he knew his brother was a felon.
He knew his brother was a felon.
And he knew his brother couldn't possess a gun, or whatever you call it.
Right, and that should be addressed under a different statute, which would be aiding and abetting a felon in possession of a firearm. Yeah. What we're doing here is watering down the distinction between the two statutes. Had they charged that, we wouldn't be here making this argument.
They chose not to.
They chose not to. Your Honor, the case is actually that simple. I reserve some time, and I think I'm going to sit down now, because that's the nexus of the case.
Fine. Ms. Bertrand.
Good morning.
Why don't you answer the question? Just ask, why didn't you charge him with aiding a felon in possession?
Actually, I thought that the charge of transferring possession of a firearm to a felon was a more appropriate charge in this case.
Disposing?
Yes, disposing of a firearm to a felon is a more appropriate charge. Had we charged aiding and abetting a felon in possession of a firearm, we would have had a whole different set of arguments and disagreements as to whether or not that's possible. The fact is that Corey Jefferson's actions and decisions fit 922G. And the evidence at trial was that he and his brother Melvin went to Buttram's Sporting Goods together. And he bought two guns that day. And that's reflected not only in his confession, but also in the gun purchase paperwork that was submitted in evidence. At some point, Corey Jefferson gives Melvin the gun to put in the safe, or is present when the gun is put in the safe. At no time does the record show, and I've confirmed that in reviewing the transcript, that Corey put the gun in the safe. At some point, it's transferred to Melvin.
Melvin has evidence as far as he bought two guns. He only put one away for safekeeping. What did he do with the other one?
We don't know.
No, nobody looked into that, whether he wasn't worried about that one being safe or something like that.
That gun was never recovered. And no, there's nothing in his statement saying I put both guns, only the specific
right,
gun
but
regarding
I mean,
Melvin.
One would think that if he were worried about the safety of the gun, that he might put both of them.
That's correct. Melvin was the only person with the combination to the safe. So for Corey Jefferson to get his gun back, he would have had to turn to Melvin to get it back. Melvin is now exercising pretty much complete dominion and control over this gun by it being in Melvin's safe, where Melvin only has the combination. I think the defense is concerned that we have pushed the envelope with dispose of here doesn't fit the facts of this case neatly, if at all.
Originally, this statute applied to firearm dealers rather than to any person.
That's
right?
Correct.
And I, in that context, at least, one would think of some sort of commercial transaction that would involve some degree of permanency, at least.
That's correct.
If the statute was amended to apply to any person, do you think that that authorizes or imports some sort of broadening of the concept of disposition? That argument hasn't been made here, but it occurred to me when I looked this thing up.
Your Honor, it's occurred to me too. And I think that you... I think that the change from discussing about dealer, pawn broker, people involved in commercial transactions to person does intimate a concern that Congress has had about these guns getting into the hands of the wrong people, and both the government's brief and defense counsel's brief discuss the congressional intent historically behind these firearms statutes. And I guess the problem with the defendant's argument with regards to 922D is there's always going to be then the argument where you have a non-commercial transfer of a firearm to a felon. Well, I was only holding it for the guy. If you have to, I mean, permanency, how long does he have to hold it for it to be permanent? What constitutes relinquishment? And here I can't think of a better case of relinquishment than giving it to the only person who can access it for you. Handing over control of this firearm to one person, and that person you knew was a felon. In terms of the mistake types of scenarios that defense counsel raises, I also think that that's where knowingly comes in. And I don't know what would happen in those cases where you have an employee in a gun shop that you give custody and control of all these guns to, either for cleaning or just access. That's not the case here. The
does
case
dispose of show up in any of these other firearm statutes? I mean, it seems sort of a strange word to use instead of transfer or whatever.
You know, Honor, in my research, I was not able to find consistent use of the phrase dispose of. In referring back to transfer, however, one thing that defense counsel does is cite Black's Law Dictionary's definition of disposal. And that definition, this would be the seventh edition of Black, the disposal definition discusses, in part, the act of transferring something to another's care or possession, and this is from the defendant's brief as well. Well, if you then follow the logic and look at transfer in Black's Law Dictionary, it states to convey or remove from one place or one person to another, semicolon, to pass or hand over from one to another, especially to change over possession or control of. So I think that the difficulty and the struggle with the phrase dispose of is in part, I almost made a pun without thinking about it, disposed by the defense's use of all these definitions and struggling with this word. It is not limited to a permanent relinquishment of custody or control over the gun or the property. And here, Corey Jefferson clearly turned over control of this gun to Melvin Jefferson, knowing his brother was a felon. Lastly, I just want to quickly address, even if the court finds that that instruction should not be given, there's clear evidence on this record that the jury could draw from to still find the defendant guilty. And that comes from, as the court or the government discusses in its brief, the jury could have easily concluded that in buying two guns and going to Buttram's, the defendant intended to give one of these guns to Melvin, and that the story about I just gave it to him to keep in the safe is self-serving at best. And in fact, the gun wasn't recovered in the safe. The gun was recovered on Melvin's person in the course of an arrest. So the jury still could have found, without the instruction given by the court, which I do believe was proper.
Was there any time factor between the time he was arrested with the weapon and when it was purchased?
Yes, sir. Corey Jefferson took possession of the gun on May 15, 2002, per Jennifer Buttram and the firearms purchase paperwork presented at trial. Melvin Jefferson was arrested June 6, 2002, so approximately 3 weeks after the firearms purchase and taking possession of the gun.
For straw purchases, how are those charged usually?
They can be charged this way, if the person specifically knew that the person was a felon. The other way that we, in the Eastern District, I've seen charged straw purchases would be a materially false statement on a firearms purchase form, what we call the 4473. You have to mark a box saying, I am purchasing this for myself and not for another.
The fact that it's used in the alternative with sale, does that import, in the rules about interpreting statutory language, does that import any idea that it ought to be have some of the same characteristics as a sale, be a disposition or a disposal?
I raise this shortly in the government's brief. I actually take the opposite interpretation, that they said sale, and then they could have said transfer, deliver, permanently relinquish, and instead they say otherwise dispose of. They deliberately choose broad language here, and I think that sale denotes one type of commercial transaction, and then otherwise dispose of is designed to encompass other ways that these guns can be passed on to people prohibited from possessing them. With that, I have nothing further. I would ask this adjourn. Thank you.
Okay. Mr. Flynn.
Just very briefly, Your Honor, in response to some of the issues just addressed, if the government is now contending this is in fact a straw purchase, that's again another statute they could have chosen to indict this under and didn't. And some of the facts that are being discussed here I think may not be in the record. I just wanted to be clear about that. But at any rate, the issue of the relinquishment, disposal is a word in English that a jury can understand, and to define it now as helping someone possess, especially when you're talking about joint constructive possession, which is what the instruction that was given to the jury is very different from dispose. Dispose, in common parlance, means to get rid of. To help, the definition of possession, which was not asked for by the government, was sua sponte, given by the judge, allowed the jury to find Corey Jefferson guilty of aiding and abetting Melvin Jefferson in joint constructive possession. And that simply is my argument, that is not what was charged by the grand jury. I think what was charged by the grand jury was materially, there's a constructive amendment when the judge gave that instruction. I think that the charge the grand jury did bring, there's insufficient evidence on this record, on the facts of this case, to justify a conviction. And we'd ask that you overturn the conviction.
Okay.
Thank you, Your Honor.
Thanks very much. Were you retained or?
Actually, I'm a federal public defender. At that time, I was in Milwaukee. I'm now in Rockford, Illinois.
Okay. Thanks very much. Case will be taken under advisement. And that completes the arguments for today. The court will be in recess until 9:30 tomorrow morning.